You're listening to a message from Every Nation Canberra. In this message from our series on the theology of work, titled Manic Monday, Aaron Ricabo discusses how we should view work, jumping off from Philippians 2, verses 14 to 16.
Well, good morning, church. Today's focus passage comes from Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 to 18. As always, we are reading from the English Standard Version. So, let's read this passage. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain, even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith. I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. This is the word of the Lord. Keep your Bibles open as we want to go back and really look into the word today. So go back to verse 12. What you'll probably notice here is that Paul writes, work out your own salvation. Now, the Greek word that was used here is katagasis. And that simply means to continually work or bring something to fulfillment or completion. Now, what Paul is writing here is not working towards your salvation, because as in Ephesians 2:8, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. So Paul is not saying that we are working towards our salvation. Rather, we are to actively pursue obedience towards God. Essentially, we are working for the sanctification process. Now, a bit more into obedience towards God. Obedience towards God is simply obeying his commands. I'm sure that's something we would all agree with. But obedience to his commands means knowing what the Bible tells us. Now, there's a bunch of commands that we can find in the Bible, but let's hone in on just a couple of commands today. When we are obedient to God, we are also, for example, obedient to our parents. In Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents, for this is right. So, obedience to parents means obedience to the Lord. Another one that we see in Romans 13:1 is, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. So, God has instituted governments to be over their citizens. He has instituted the church to be over the believers. He has instituted parents to be over the children. And he has instituted masters to be over their employees. Or, you know, I'm pretty sure you don't call your manager master, so your supervisor or your boss over the employee. It is very important for us to understand that God has set these authoritative figures over us. He has set your manager over you. Therefore, we must be obedient to our bosses. We must be obedient in our workplace. Showing obedience to our boss, showing obedience to our workplace, means showing obedience to God. Of course, there is a caveat to that, when we to disobey these authoritative figures, and that is if their orders are contradictory to what the Bible says. So, of course, as always, make sure we know what is written in the Bible. Now let's move on to verse 13. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Now, it is the believer's responsibility to work. Now, of course, when we talked about work, it is in reference to working out our salvation, as we just discussed. And it's also important to understand that God is the one who produces the good work within the believer. The good work is accomplished through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And I want to make this point known, because not everybody enjoys going to work. Not everybody likes their boss even. but it is through the Holy Spirit that we get strength to find joy in our work, to find joy in obeying our superiors. So don't think that, I'm just forcing myself to like my workplace. I'm just forcing myself to like my job. Well, I encourage you, church, God is working in you, working through you, so he will give you the strength to enjoy what you do. Now let's move on to verse 14. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. Now, I'm sure all of you have probably heard this verse before, right? And this is an attitude we as Christians must have. We shouldn't be grumblers. We shouldn't be disputers. But what does it mean? So let's quickly break it up into grumbling and disputing. So grumbling, to grumble is simply to show one's unhappiness or to have a very critical sort of attitude, right? And when we put it in the context of the Bible, when we grumble towards God, what we are essentially doing is showing emotional rejection of God's providence, of his will, and of his circumstance for our life. And in the context of work, when we grumble about going to work, when we grumble about working in general, we are essentially criticizing and rejecting God for placing us in the job that he has blessed us with. Now, for many of us, we might believe that, well, work is, you know, we don't want to work. I'm sure most of us have that sort of idea. But work is not a curse. It is not a curse like many of us probably think. Many of us think that work is a curse as a result of the fall. But in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, it reads, "The Lord took the man," referring to Adam, "and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it." God put Adam in the most beautiful and pleasurable place on earth. You see, work is actually a blessing. And you know, I read quite recently this article where it talked about employment and unemployment. Now, it was a bit of a long article, but I'll summarize the key points that we found. Now, what it found in the study of this article, it showed that people who are unemployed generally have unemployment is a destructive cause to a person's well-being. And employment contributes to a person's social status. It contributes to their social relations, their daily structure, and their goals. And these points that I just talked about, all these points exert to a strong influence of a person's happiness. So what we see here is employment is actually very important to a person's well-being. It truly is a blessing from God. Now, of course, as well, stay-at-home moms as well, that is a full-time job as well. So don't think if you're not working, you're not, you're missing out on something. Being a full-time mom is definitely a big gig on its own. Now, you might disagree with this. You might think, well, I still don't like work. Well, that's a shame because work is part of life. It's the cold, hard truth. But another way that we should think about it is this. God has placed you in your workplace for a particular reason. I mean, aside from the obvious reason of financial provision, God has perhaps put you in this workplace that you may not like. He may have put you in this workplace that you find incredibly stressful, not enjoyable at all. But maybe he has put you here so he would lead you to new perspectives in life. Perhaps he has put you in this workplace so that your character will be built. God puts us through life experiences so we can gain experience. Now let's go back to verse 14 and quickly talk about the next part, disputing. Disputing is simply questioning. That's another way that we can say it. It's not just the simple questioning God though. Not like, Lord, why am I in this job? You know, what is my purpose here? It is very okay to just ask God questions. But what Paul is writing here is it's more of a criticism towards God. Like, Lord, why did you put me here? Quite a different tone and quite a different effect. And is essentially a criticism towards God for the position that we are in. But as we just talked about before, we don't grumble, we don't dispute. because we don't want to criticize. We don't want to criticize God for the circumstance that we are in. So to put it together, another way to say do all things without grumbling or disputing is we shouldn't complain or criticize God for the circumstances that we find ourselves in. Or in the contents of today's message, we shouldn't complain or criticize God for the job that we are in. Now, let's read verse 15 and 16, but let's read it all as one, because the reason why we shouldn't grumble, why we shouldn't complain, is found in verse 15. So, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Again, it is very easy to not grumble and not dispute on the weekends, right? When we're not at work. But we are called not to grumble. We are called not to dispute in all situations, particularly the bad, particularly at work. And grumbling on the Monday morning is something I'm sure we can all relate to. But we don't grumble. We don't dispute for these two reasons. So we are, one, blameless and innocent, and two, so we can shine as lights in the world. As believers, we must show our character, the Christian character, amidst a dark culture. We must shine in this dark world. And we must be separate from the world. And to be separate is to be holy. Now, earlier, we saw that, yes, we spend about one-third of our lives at work. So imagine this. Imagine that you are grumbling and disputing for one-third of your life simply because you hate work. And if you start to really manifest that sort of attitude, you will not shine in a dark world. You will not be perceived as separate from this world. And you will not be obedient to God, because God has commanded us, do not grumble or dispute. And if we are disobedient to God, we are not worshiping Him in this area of life. Remember, obedience is also a form of worship towards God. Now let's go back to verse 15 and talk about the second point, about shining as lights in the world. We already briefly touched on it, but we have been called to shine in the world. And like it or not, one-third of our world is being in our work environment. Our work really is our ministry. So we must shine bright in this environment. And you know, if people haven't already figured out, people will know that you are a Christian. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing for people in the workplace to know you are Christian. But is all the more reason for us to be vigilant in our actions and in our attitudes, especially in the workplace environment. I heard of someone's workmate once who would constantly badmouth her Christian circle. It wasn't so much as a way of gossiping, but more of a way to vent out her frustrations. Now, she was one of the very few representatives of a Christian in her workplace. But unfortunately, because of how she acted, because of what story she told at the workplace, she has given this blemished view of what a Christian is like at her job. And church, I just want to remind us that maybe we don't realize we actually impact our workplace. Maybe we think we're very low rank or low level at work. But we honestly, we impact the places that we are in. In the case of this individual, she has likely tainted the image of Christians to her fellow colleagues. And church, I just want to warn us, don't make the same mistake. Remember, we are ambassadors of Christ. We must represent the Holy King. We must represent the King of Kings in a worthy manner. Sure, we will slip up. We aren't perfect. We are fallen. But As we read, we must strive to be blameless and innocent so we can shine as lights in the world. Now, the book of Philippians has a lot of applications in our life, and especially in our workplace, because, trust me, I'm sure none of us really like going to work. But I just want to impart the four key parts of this message today. Number one, we must remember to actively pursue obedience towards God. And we must remember this. Remember that God has instituted authorities over us. He has instituted governments over the citizens, the church over the believers, the parents over the children, and your supervisors. He has instituted managers over the employee. Obedience towards these instituted authorities, obedience in the workplace, is obedience to God. Number two is, remember, do all things without grumbling or disputing. We shouldn't complain or criticize for the circumstances that we are in. And in the context of today, we shouldn't complain or criticize God for the job that we are in. Number three, remember this. Work is a blessing. We grow and we mature in our workplace. We are given these lifelong experiences by going through work. And number four, be blameless and innocent so you can be a light in your work environment. You make an impact, even if you don't realize it. So make sure you are being true ambassadors of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, glory, glory, glory to your name, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the situations that we find ourselves in. We thank you, Lord, that we are workers, that we are students, and for some of us, that we are parents, Lord. And I just pray that you would help us to find joy in all we do, as if we are working for you. Help us to grow, help us to mature, so that everywhere we are, we truly represent you, that we are true ambassadors for you, Lord. Help us to be lights in the environment, in the workplace that you have placed us in, so that glory may be given to you. In your holy name I pray. Amen and amen. Well, thank you, church. That wraps up the first part of our two-part series of working.
You just heard a message from Every Nation Canberra. For more podcasts and for more information on Every Nation Canberra, please visit everynationcanberra.org. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/everynationcanberra and on Instagram at instagram.com/encanberra. We meet every Saturday at 104 The Valley Avenue, Gungahlin. Would you like to be connected to a tag group? Email us at everynationcanberra@gmail.com.